Welcome back. It's always a great day here on Currently in Quincy when Kelly Eisner, the communications director for the American Red Cross, joins us, because certainly it's a great cause. But we just love to chat with Kelly and let her get the word out to the community. Welcome back, Kelly. Great
Thank
to see you.
Thank you so much. I love coming in and talking to you. You always ask such good questions.
It's our pleasure. And we hope over the years that we've helped the Red Cross get the message out about the need for blood, and hopefully get you some volunteers as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know where to find us. thanks to your show.
Last month, the Red Cross put out an urgent need for a critical shortage in the blood supply, right?
It's true. Yeah. We saw, at one point in July, we saw the blood supply fall about 25% nationwide.
Wow.
We were coming, already entering the summer, we were coming out of a shortage, which didn't help. It's multiple problems that we have to address. We know that it's going to be a harder time to collect blood in the summer, but we're also seeing things. I wrote this down because this was just mind-blowing to me. There was a point in July when nearly 50% of Americans in the entire country were under a heat advisory at the same time.
Yeah.
And where that translates to the blood supply is if we have to cancel or delay a drive, if an air conditioner breaks, mm-hmm. or if it's just too hot to go outside, we tell donors to stay home and have to move the blood drive. All those things on small scales all over the country really start to impact the national blood supply.
Wow.
And of course, we have our usual concerns, the scheduling. I'm a mom. I know what the summers are like.
Right. Yeah.
You're stringing together camps and everything. Giving blood probably isn't front of mind.
People are on vacation, right?
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah. So the supply dwindles. But then when you have emergencies where the blood is needed, that really cuts into it even further, right?
It's true. And unfortunately, working for the Red Cross, that's something else we see at this time of year. There's hurricanes, tropical storms, all kinds of natural disasters going on. They may not be happening here in Massachusetts, but what we can do here is, if those events have a negative impact on the blood supply, we can collect here. And because the Red Cross is the largest single blood supplier in the country, we can make sure the products get to where they're needed.
Yeah, I mean, that the wildfire season out on the West Coast was just devastating this year, so I'm sure that had an impact on it as well.
Absolutely.
There have been some tropical storms in the Gulf Coast already, so there's another issue for sure.
Even
and dry conditions as well,
Absolutely. Yeah. Hurricane Beryl, it was the earliest Atlantic hurricane ever.
Yes.
It's our new reality. We are seeing weather events happen at a greater intensity and a greater frequency than ever before, and we just have to be prepared. So that's why it's always lovely to come and just remind people here in Quincy, we have blood drives in your area. Come out, roll up a sleeve. Our staff are great. They love seeing you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Does the Red Cross also supply blood in the U.S. territories, Kelly? Do you know, like Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands? They do.
There are collection operations in Puerto Rico. Outside of the borders of the U.S., generally no.
Okay.
I mean, if a request came in through the State Department, we could. It's not that we can't, but really it's U.S. borders, so including the territories.
Sure. The standard drives are always happening, right? There's the big donor center down in Weymouth. Braintree as well. I think there's a drive going on.
In Braintree, and I didn't write down the hours for that one.
Okay. But it's the Moose Lodge in Braintree.
At the Moose Lodge, yes. And then on Wednesday, September 11th, we have our big blood drive at Fenway Park.
Yes.
It's the 9/11 Day of Remembrance.
Yeah, which is just next week, actually.
It always sneaks up on me, but I mean, not really, because we've been working on this for a while, still the time goes fast. So this is the Red Sox let us use their 521 Outlook Club, which is such a cool space out in center field. I bring this up because if you're on the fence or if you're not sure, 9/11 is a great day of service, and you go to this blood drive and you're welcomed by the Red Sox, you're welcomed by the Red Cross, by all our partners. I mean, the City of Boston, police commissioner, fire commissioner, the head of the EMS department will all be there. It really is a great reminder of the actual service that you're providing.
Yeah.
What happens is, when you donate blood that day, your blood has to go to a lab, it has to be tested, it has to be packaged, so it takes a couple days before that blood is available. So when something emergent happens, in the moment, it's the blood on the shelves already that helps save lives.
Sure. That is an early start to that event, right?
Yes. 7 a.m.
Yeah.
But you'll probably be able to find parking.
Yeah, well, there's the positive side.
There you go.
Absolutely. And then sun's almost up by then.
Exactly. It's actually, you'd be surprised how many people, you know, when we open the doors at 7, how many people are already waiting.
Oh, I believe
actually,
it,
on a weekday, sometimes it's easy to get it out of the way, go into work, take your time, you know, drink your fluids, but it's certainly possible.
Yep.
It's such a fun day, though.
So 7 to 1 on 9/11. Just the main entrance to Fenway?
Yep. I'm not sure if it's at Gate D this year.
Okay.
But we are inviting people. You know, we'll have signs out to come. Again, the 521 is in center field, so you get to kind of see the park from a different angle.
Neat.
It's really cool.
Neat. And do you need an appointment for that?
It's encouraged.
Okay.
We'll do our best to take everybody, even if they forgot to make the appointment. But strongly encourage it whenever you can. It just allows us to better prepare, keep the wait times down.
Sure, sure. And are there other activities for folks who attend? Will Wally be there, perhaps?
You know, he made an appearance last year. I don't want to give anything away.
All right.
But we did see Wally and Tessie.
Of course. Yes, absolutely. Okay, good. And of course, here in Quincy, we have the, I know, the Sons of Italy on an almost monthly basis.
Yes, that's a great one.
Yeah.
In the neighborhood, it's a site that we are constantly coming to. So if you know the area, you can get there. We're always there. Redcrossblood.org. Mm-hmm. You can put in your zip code, find blood drives that way.
Sure. September also is National Preparedness Month. And what does the Red Cross have to do with that?
Well, you know, first thing when we're talking about blood, having a stable blood supply is key for preparedness. Just making sure that, you know, the supplies are there, they're ready in the event that anything happens. You know, one of the things that we really talk about in preparedness is just knowing how to find information quickly. And that's when I'm always going to point out the Red Cross emergency app.
Okay.
We've talked about the Blood Donor app a lot. I use it. I think it's great to be able to schedule my own appointments. The emergency app is also cool. That's the other one that I always have on my phone.
Oh.
You'll get weather alerts in real time. And if there was something to happen, we're updating with links to possible shelters that are opening in the area, FEMA contacts, you know, ways to get resources. As much information as is coming into us, we're trying to load into that app as well.
Oh, okay. That we have not talked about that before here on the program.
It's actually, it's a great one to really just kind of download it. And then when you're in line at the bank or something, just kind of flip through what's in there. The two most common hazards in Massachusetts are flooding and hurricanes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We may not have had a big hurricane in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
However, it is still very much a risk being in a coastal community.
Sure.
And the app does go into some of the things that you should be prepared for with flooding, with hurricanes,
Good to know. And you don't have to have a hurricane to have a flood, certainly.
No,
I mean, we've seen some tremendous, just regular nor'easters, you know, cause a lot of problems as well.
Exactly.
And some of the hurricanes that have hit the Gulf Coast have actually impacted other parts of New England, Vermont, New Hampshire, for
instance. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was... you know, we're ready when it happens, but it's still, you just see that storm come up the coast and it just seems to stay in Vermont and just keep dumping rainwater. There was a big Red Cross operation there. Massachusetts sent, I don't have the exact number, somewhere between 25 and 40 volunteers up to Vermont, just like we did last summer. Did you know that was 1 year to the day from last year's flooding in Vermont?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they're just not prepared for something like that. You know? It's a landlocked community you wouldn't expect, right?
It's true, and it happens. Flash flooding happens very fast, and it's words we hear, and then when you're in the moment, you see it. I deployed out to Vermont last summer, and I'd be driving down these, you know, Vermont country roads, and all of a sudden you look, and it's just roads that parts of the mountain have been washed away into the street and across it. And again, it just happens fast. So being prepared, making sure that if you are in an area where that could happen, you have the right supplies in your car. You know, you want to have a blanket, bottled water, anything, you know, an extra battery for your cell phone. You want to have photos of, or, you know, copies of important documents. Just keep it close.
Sure.
'Cause
Do you need to know your blood type to donate blood, Kelly?
You do not.
You don't. Okay.
Nope. And all blood types are needed. Okay. We always say that type O is the most in need, either O positive or O negative, depending on what you are. If you have an O, come in. But no, if you don't know, the nice thing is that after you donate, a couple days later, it'll update in the app and it'll actually tell you what your blood type is.
That is good, yeah. Because I'm venture to guess a lot of people don't know.
It's true. Yeah. I didn't know until I started donating blood with the Red Cross again. A long time ago, and then when I got the app, I was like, oh, that's right in there. That's good to know.
Sure. I know we've talked about it in the past, but I think it's always good to refresh folks into what the actual donor process involves.
Absolutely. So when you come in, you check in with registration. Hopefully you've made an appointment. Again, we do encourage appointments. They're not mandatory. It just helps us serve each donor better. So you check in, you should bring a photo ID.
Oh, okay.
Just something that has your picture, like state ID is fine, just so we can match it with your donor card. If you have your donor card in the app, great. If not, we can find it with a driver's license. From there, you go into health history. They're going to ask you, it's a private area, either in a room by itself or at least in an area that's curtained off at a mobile blood drive. They're going to ask you some questions about, any travel that you've done, any sort of, medications you may be on, things like that. They'll do a brief mini physical, so mm-hmm. they'll take a sample of your blood, mm-hmm. take your blood pressure, make sure that you're feeling well enough that day to give blood. The actual donation takes about 15 minutes. It's a little pinch, but I look away. Some people like to watch it. My child, I know, he's not old enough to donate yet, but when he does, he's going to want to see it go right in.
Okay. Curiosity.
Yes. Yeah. From there, don't skip this part. We strongly encourage people to go into the refreshments area, have some liquid, have some cookies, just to kind of bring your fluids and your kind of self back up to where they were before you donated.
Right.
So start to finish about an hour.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not too bad.
And one pint is donated?
Just about, okay. Yeah. It starts as a pint and then we pull off some for testing, so slightly less.
And who can be a blood donor?
Almost anybody.
Yeah.
You have to be at least 18, 17 in some cases, but really 18. You have to be feeling well. Chronic conditions usually aren't a deferral if you have diabetes or something like that. As long as it's well managed with medication, you can usually come in and donate. Again, there's a long list of medications that people ask us about. Not all of them are deferrals, but it's probably a good idea to just talk that through when you're in that health history area if you're on medication.
Okay.
And there's no upper age limit.
Mm-hmm.
I've met donors that are in their 90s.
Wow.
And in even one gentleman was almost 100 and
really?
Still was, feeling well enough, so he came.
Wow.
Always great to see him.
Yeah, that's super. Wow. And I venture to guess that you get a lot of repeat donors, right?
We do.
Folks that do it all their lives, yeah.
And that's just it. And that almost is, it's not a problem. But it does sort of show what the situation is with blood donors. Most of the blood donors that we see are repeat donors, which is so amazing. It's so inspiring to see people that come in every mm-hmm. 56 days and donate, but we need new donors too.
Yeah.
Because, ultimately, there's just not enough of people that are already doing it.
I think I saw a statistic where only 3% of the population, is that true? It gives blood? Yeah.
Yep, okay. Of those who are eligible, which I get it, life is busy, and
yeah.
especially when you're younger and there's so much demand for mm-hmm. your time and attention, but do think about the Red Cross. Do think about a hospital patient who is waiting mm-hmm. for that gift that you are giving to them.
You
may never
another,
see their face.
Yeah, you answered another question too. So every 56 days you can donate?
Every 56 days you can donate whole
okay.
blood. If you donate platelets, which is a slightly different kind of donation, you can do that every 7 days.
Every 7 days, okay. And is there a need for that as well as
always,
blood? Really?
Always. Yeah. Platelets, the biggest difference, non-scientific difference, with platelets is that they can't be frozen. They need to be transfused within 7 days. So they're constantly in demand. Platelets are a component of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Medically, mostly more than half of what we collect goes to cancer patients, but anything that involves like immune systems, that's my understanding of what
oh, all right. okay.
platelets
can
do.
Cancer patients also be donors?
It depends on the medication and where they are in their cancer journey, too. It's something to talk about with your doctor first, just to see if it's a good idea.
Absolutely. So have there been any changes recently, Kelly, in who can be a donor?
Well, so last year, just over a year ago, the FDA finally made an announcement that the Red Cross had been waiting for a long time, which changed the rules to create what we would call individual donor assessment. Previously, there were particular restrictions against men who had sex with other men in certain windows of time. The feeling on that scientifically, that maybe that wasn't necessarily based in science, they had to go back and look at the science. The Red Cross was part of a big long-term study to just gauge the safety of changing that policy. Mm-hmm. With all the information that the FDA had, they decided to change that policy. So now we're just 1 year in.
Okay.
And what's been really cool is when you go to a blood drive, you're seeing new faces in that sense, men who may have previously been deferred.
Okay.
One of my coworkers is a gentleman who had previously been deferred because of that policy, and now he can come. And he's trying to convince his partner to come too.
Okay, so but it does open up a new pool of donors.
It does, for sure.
Sure.
And again, that's the key. You know, there just aren't enough people that are giving blood on a regular basis. So anytime we can get more donors into that pattern, into mm-hmm. that habit, and it's really, you feel great at the end of it. I mean, it's a medical procedure for sure, but when you're laying there and you're thinking about the blood that my body makes anyway can actually save someone else's life. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I just recently heard about a new program, I think it was in Canton, where the EMT program there now has a program where they can actually bring blood right to a trauma victim at, say, a car accident and do a transfusion right there at the scene.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, yeah.
And it's crazy, with all the advances in medical technology, there really is no substitute for human blood.
Right.
It's just too complex, too magical of a product to ever be able to make in a lab.
Yeah.
So it's really fascinating what blood can do.
Yeah, and it has been used to save several lives already. So
absolutely.
It just goes to show. We should talk, you've mentioned about the volunteers, but we've not talked about who they are, what they do, and how to become one.
Well, more than 90% of the Red Cross is volunteer, which is really
that.
Amazing.
Okay. Yeah.
And I work with some incredible volunteers who have been with us 40, 50, 60 years. And then equally incredible are I just finished a summer volunteer program. So a college student, she's going to enter her senior year at Tufts now, spent the whole summer with me in the communications department. So it really is a wide gambit. There is one of these amazing volunteers is the one that told me this, I give him credit for it, that whatever you want to do, you can do it at the Red Cross.
Yeah.
If you are interested in being a greeter at blood drives, if you want to help with, back-end administrative tasks, we have those too.
Yep. No, you need all of that, right?
You can go to fires, you can meet with clients, translators. We're always in need of translators.
Yes, that's a good point
as well.
RedCrossBlood.org or 1-800-RED-CROSS, right?
That's it.
Great to see you as always, Kelly. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
You're very welcome.